He died for you. He died for me. From our sin, He set us free. He loved us so. His life He gave. So if we ask, we can be saved.
Hello, I'm Rick Hurtless, founder of His Gospel Power and author of the book True Freedom. I am excited that you have joined with our broadcast of His Gospel Power. As we look into the Word of God, we discover that God is all-powerful and that Jesus is alive. He operates in our lives on a daily basis. As we go through this study, we will understand as we read the Word that Jesus is alive. What an exciting day. Every Sunday is exciting. This one must be more exciting than the rest. Because He is alive. He is alive and He is walking and sitting and living inside of us in this very room, in this what we call this sanctuary, but the true sanctuary is within our heart. This is just a building. It's going to sit here when we leave. But the sanctuary goes with us because the sanctuary is Jesus Christ, because He is alive and resides within us. Whenever you're in turmoil, when you're in struggle, when the world faces and crushes down on you, when you look like you can't go another step, you don't have to run to this building because the sanctuary resides within inside of you. He is alive. Continuously, if you know Jesus Christ, where you are, where the struggle is, you can fall to your knees and say, God, I can't do it. I can't do it. You got to do it for me. Because He's alive. The stone has been rolled away. The stone is no longer covering the grave. You see, the stone was placed in front of the tomb. The disciples were in despair. Our Savior, we thought was our Savior. When He came in, we said, Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna means save. We saw Him coming and we said, save! Save us, Jesus! You're the Messiah. Save us. But now, Sunday morning, He lays dead in the tomb. And all of our hopes and our dreams are crushed. And as they stayed in the house, all huddled, men stayed in the house, all huddled together, worried about the soldiers coming to crash through the door and take them away, the ladies bore the cross. Walked bravely out the doors to go to their only concern. The lady's concern was, how are we going to roll away the stone? It's too big. We have to tend to the body of our Lord. That was their concern. But as they walked up to the tomb, they looked in their amazement and the job had already been done. Stone was rolled away. And as they went inside, they saw that the Savior was no longer there, and they ran back to the disciples. John 20, verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they've put Him. You see, she still didn't get it. They've taken Him out and we don't know what's happened. Now, there are different accounts in the four Gospels of exactly how this happened. And you can actually chronologize those. If you will put those together, you can get them in numerical order as you seek out how it actually happened. But as we were talking about in our men's Bible study this morning, if you have four stories, if there are four witnesses to a crime, if they all are exact, this man sounds exactly like this one. This one is exactly like this one. This one is exactly like this one. You know what? They have been rehearsed. You can ask the judge as he listens to his witnesses. It's like, wait a minute. These are too close. Nobody is able to catch all of those details together. So as you read the four Gospels and you see a few what you call discrepancies, begin to study those a little bit more and you will see that they add up perfectly. Because these are witnesses. These are people who have brought an account of what happened. And it's a true account. It is a true account. And as they looked and they told Simon Peter, we don't know what happened. He's gone. They've stolen the body. Imagine that. Still didn't get it. It was not till later that they began to put everything together. The disciples run to the tomb. Now John runs ahead. Remember Peter? Boy, everybody comes down on Peter. Peter is the impetuous one. He's the one who runs out there first. He's the one who jumped out of the boat, remember? He said, Jesus, if it's you in the storm, call me and I will come and I will walk to you. And you know what we always do with Peter? Is that we say, well, Peter, yeah, he jumped out of the boat, but he got a little bit, he got part of the way there and he lost his faith and he sunk. But the other disciples didn't have the courage to get out of the boat, to sink with him. And John runs ahead of him to the tomb. But when he gets to the tomb, he stops. He stops short. He peers in and Peter, impetuous Peter, boom, runs right past him. Runs in to see the grave clothes. To see, sure enough, Jesus was not there. John 20, 3 through 9. So Peter and the other disciple started to the tomb. Both were running, but the disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over to look at the strips of linen there, but did not go in. He just stood at the tomb and he saw everything that was going on, but he did not go in. And then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Why would they put in this account the cloth of the master's head was folded? Well, there's many suppositions. But you see, the rabbi, the teacher, as he taught his Jewish student, and the student was learning to serve. And occasionally, as they were sitting there and they were eating, the student would serve the rabbi, who was also considered, you know, the young student was probably considered a servant to some degree. And he would be tending to the rabbi. And if the rabbi had to get up to go to the restroom or to do something else, he would fold his cloth and he would put it there at his plate, and the student or the servant would know, don't mess with that plate. He's coming back. Leave it alone. But if he took the linen from his lap, the napkin, and he crumpled it up and just threw it in his plate, that meant he was finished. And he was not coming back to the table. He was done. This cloth has been folded and set to the side. It had serious meaning, I believe, to those Jews, those Jewish boys who had been raised up, who had heard about this. Jesus is coming back. And they knew that. They didn't know it quite then, but they started knowing there was something. Because it says they believed, but they still did not understand. It took some time for them to understand. It says they still did not understand what the scripture had to, that Jesus had to rise from the dead. It took a long time for them to work this out and figure out that Jesus Christ was coming back. And in fact, they never figured it out. Instead, Jesus Himself first appeared to the women, because I believe, because they were the true faithful. Men, the ladies put us to shame. The ladies put us in the dirt. The ladies are the ones who have always cared about spiritual matters. And they continue to do so today. Men get preoccupied with so many things that are happening in the light, in the world. And they forget that the provider, that our provider, the one who actually leads us, the one who actually makes sure that everything happens, is God Himself. And instead, it is us scurrying around as men thinking, I have to do this, and I have to do this, and I have to do this, and then, I have to get back and do this again. When in fact, if we would be more like the ladies in a lot of sense, where we're saying, you know what? I don't have time to do that. I've got to go to the ladies' Bible study tonight. Instead, the flip side of the coin is with the men is, well, if I have time, I will go to the men's Bible study. That's the difference. The ladies set aside what is important in life, and that is Jesus Christ. And the men get so wrapped up in how they are going to provide that they forget to go to the provider, who is Jesus Christ. He is alive today so that we can call on Him and be led by Him. Be led by the Spirit that lives within us, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord. He said, as He was leaving, He said, I have to go away. Because when I go, I will send back a comforter. So Jesus left, and who was the comforter? The comforter was the Holy Spirit. It was the Spirit of Jesus Christ Himself that He sent back and now resides within us, gives us the power to call on the Father and rely on Him to take us through the hard times, to help us rejoice in the good times, to help us understand that He is the one that we turn to no matter what we're facing. You have an illness that is terminal, as the doctors have said. My dad had a terminal illness 30 years ago. He had 6 months to live. Oh, did I forget to? I just saw him yesterday. Did I forget to tell you that? You see, the doctors don't know. The doctors take a look at what they think they know. But instead, we turn to the great provider and allow Him to meet our need. Allow Him to take us through this life. Allow Him to guide us through the life that we have, because the stone's been rolled away. We've gone inside the tomb. We've seen the empty grave close. Now, how many know that if they were grave robbers, number one, they had to get past a regiment of soldiers. So that was already a problem. But assuming they got past the regiment of soldiers, which means if they did that, there'd be dead bodies everywhere, actually. The soldiers were not going to run off. I can tell you they would have been dead bodies, because if they didn't fight to the death, then they would be dead and then hung on the cross themselves. But the stone had been rolled away. God is alive. We have a Savior who is no longer in the grave. Islam cannot say that. Buddha cannot say that. Hindus cannot say that. Our Savior is a risen Lord. He folded up the grave cloths. The grave robbers would not have taken the time to fold the head, the grave clothes. They'd have been tossed everywhere. They'd have been thrown everywhere, but instead, they were in the same spot as where they had laid Him. See, the disciples had been hearing this for 3 years during the ministry of Jesus. But they didn't understand. How long have you been coming to church, but still do not understand that you can rely on Christ? Still do not understand that you have a power that resides within you greater than anything man has ever known. And you can call on that power, who is Jesus Christ, to take you through the struggle that you're going through. Now, I'm going to warn you. The struggle that God takes you through, He will take you through it. But it may not come out exactly to your liking. May not be exactly as you had planned. Perhaps whatever it was you were trying to save, God chooses to take you in a different direction. We were talking about Paul this morning. Paul was sent by God. He was sent by God to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. But yet he got to Asia, and he wanted to go through Asia. Hey God, you sent me to go and preach the gospel. But God said, no, you're not going there. And he says, wait a minute. He says he kept on trying. Oh, I want to go. And finally God says, no, you're not going to Asia. Paul finally said, okay. And he went where God had intended for him to go. He was sent by God. Why would God stop him from going to Asia? Because God had other plans. He had someone else he wanted to send there. God may have other plans with your life than what you're doing in your life right now. And as you think that the world is crumbling around you, and then it falls completely apart, the next thing you know, you're preaching in a pulpit. The next thing you know is you've thought you had your life all planned out, and everything is where you thought you were going to go, but yet then you see it crumbling and you're like, God, what is going on? The next thing you know, you're proclaiming the gospel for Christ. The next thing you know, you're doing something over in some place that you would have never thought that you might have been. God has called each one of us to tell everyone He is alive. That's what this morning's about. This morning is about reminding us He is alive. But you know the great thing about being a Christian? That's every Sunday morning. That is every Sunday morning. You see, someone a few weeks ago was asking me about the Sabbath. The Jewish Sabbath is a Saturday. And they said, wait a minute, if the Sabbath's a Saturday, who changed it? Who changed it to Sunday? Nobody. The Jewish Sabbath is still Saturday. But see, the Jews have still not accepted Jesus Christ. But all throughout the Bible, in the book of Acts, it says, and they came together on the first day of the week. Saturday is the last day of the week. Sunday is the first day of the week. But they came together to worship Him on the first day of the week. And we call this our Sabbath, our Christian Sabbath. It is the one that we remember God and we keep Him holy. We remember Jesus. That's what the first day of the week is. And as we continue as Christians, we must continue to come to worship Him on the first day of the week, but none more than this day today. To remind us that He is alive and living within us. Do you have a struggle that's going on in your life today? He's alive. You're in financial troubles? He's alive. You have physical problems in your body? He's alive. You're worried about what's going to go on at school or a boyfriend or a wife? There's something going on in your relationships? He's alive. You turn to Him first, not last. The problem with us as Christians is we do not understand the power and we turn to God last. And He wants to help us first. He wants us to rejoice with Him when it's going great. And He wants us to come to Him when we're struggling. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before You. And we thank you for your majesty. We thank you for your glory. We thank you for your power. We thank you for residing within us that we might walk in that power. I pray, Father, if there are any that have an affliction, that have anything going on in their life that they need to come to you, Father, I lift them up. I stand in the gap for them, and I pray that you will meet them where they are and help them in their life. I pray in the name of Jesus, if there is one that does not know you, that they might come, if they were within the sound of my voice, that they might understand that Jesus Christ is the way, is the truth, is the life. We must come to Him to come to the Father. Father, there are turmoil and struggles in this world. I pray in Jesus' name that you will meet those struggles, that we will stand boldly in your name, that we proclaim your gospel in everything we think and say and do, and that all will know that we are Christians because of the love we have for each other. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining with us to hear the truth about Jesus Christ on His gospel power. This is a listener-supported ministry. If you would like to partner with us, we would invite you to help us financially support this ministry. This ministry goes into households around the world to bring the good news of the gospel and spread hope to those who have no hope. If you would like to give, you can do so by going to our website, www.hisgospelpower.org, and click on Donate. Any amount is appreciated. Even $5 per month will help us to continue to bring the gospel to you every day. You can also go to Amazon.com and order one of my books. The proceeds of the books go to His Gospel Power. If you're unable to give financially, I ask you to become a prayer partner. Go to my website, hisgospelpower.org, and fill out the email submission form. This will allow us to maintain contact with you and pray for your needs as well. God bless you as you have joined our internet congregation. I pray that we can join together and proclaim the gospel of Christ together to reach a lost and dying world. Until next time, I pray that you receive His gospel power today.
Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Just come and praise His holy name. He's calling. Don't you